Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to 8, 3, 2, 1. And for the 8th time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
Well, the sport of thoroughbred racing is indeed filled with unsung heroes, the people who work tirelessly at the racetracks and in the barn areas and at the farms every single day and don't often find themselves in the spotlight. Lead outrider Greg Blasi is one of those folks here at Churchill Downs. He's been doing it a long time, and he and his team are just fantastic, and he is this week's unsung hero. Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You don't look at yourself as an unsung hero or even a hero in any way, though, do you?
No, I mean, you know, and people use the word lead outrider, number one out. I don't look at myself like that. I've been blessed to work with a lot of really, really good outriders. I got four great guys that I work with, and you know, it's a team thing, and you're not going to do it by yourself. Anybody thinks they are is wrong, and I've been doing this too long. So without the people that, you know, I work with, I wouldn't be any better than anybody else.
You say that, but I'm standing here at your barn on the backside of Churchill Downs, and I'm watching you coordinate everything for the Kentucky Derby, and you have to coordinate everything from the attire that the outriders are going to wear. You're pulling out red jackets from a box, and you're making sure everybody gets the right sizes so you can all look sharp on Derby Day.
Well, yeah, I mean, like these 2 days are big, you know, for Churchill, and, you know, we try and look our best, and, you know, so, yeah. But it's just a matter, you know, just handing out stuff. It ain't hard.
How does somebody become an outrider? How'd you get started?
It's funny, you know, people will come in the paddock and they're bring their kids over and they want our job, and first thing I do is tell them, well, you can quit school now because you don't have to be smart. And usually they shuffle their kids away really quick. But you know, I galloped my whole life. I started out under my dad working for him and my uncle, and galloping horses. You know, I've been blessed to gallop for some great trainers like Frankie Brothers, Wayne Lucas, Todd Pletcher. And I got an opportunity. The Outriders here called me, and Tommy Gillen, an outrider, had a heart attack and wasn't going to be able to work anymore, and they called and asked me if I was interested. And, you know, I've ponied horses my whole life. I trained for a little while. You know, I worked on ranches. You know, I can shoe horses. I tried it. I liked it. Fortunately, I've been blessed to have good horses, which is another big factor besides your team and, you know, being a good outrider. So, you know, I've been blessed to have good horses, and, you know, I've been lucky.
We understand the term outrider. There are people listening that may be thinking, oh, my goodness, what on earth is an outrider? What is that job? Explain
it. I mean, basically, we're in charge of keeping, you know, the horses, the exercise riders, the people on the racetrack safe in the mornings. You'll have 60 or 70 horses going all different directions. There's rules that we enforce, and, you know, it's our job to police the racetrack. They won't let me carry a gun, thanks to anger management. Anyway, it's, you know, and then in the afternoon, we're in charge of getting the horses to the gates on time. You know, there's a certain post time, and you have to have them there on time. You know, of course, if a horse gets loose, I mean, it's our job to catch it. And, you know, we pride ourselves in doing a good job here, and I think we do. And I think, you know, most, you know, to me, if I have the respect of the trainers, the jockeys, you know, I mean, that means a lot. So, you know, those are the people that we work with on a daily basis.
How do you earn that respect?
Just by doing a good job, I think, and you know, being good, you know, and at what we do. So,
what's the most? Being an outrider can also be a very dangerous job. What's the most dangerous part of your profession?
I mean, I don't know. I guess people look at it like it's dangerous, but if you're riding good horses, you know what you're doing, you got good people around you. It's funny how people, you know, they'll see pictures of you doing something and it doesn't look very smart. And there's a fine line between bravery and stupidity, and we cross it all the time. But, you know, like the first thing that happens to me, like people say, man, you got two kids, you can't do that anymore, this, that, and another. If that's the first thing that pops into my head when a horse gets loose or something happens, then I need to quit. Because if you're worried about getting hurt, you're going to get hurt. And that's, I don't know, I trust in my horses. You know, I know these guys I work with got my back, so, you know, and I just like I have theirs. So, I don't know, it's not something that, you know, I ever worry about.
A horse gets loose in the morning, a horse gets loose coming out of the starting gate. What's the protocol in place for an outrider to make sure you do everything right?
I mean, people safety is of the, you know, I mean, yeah, you want to catch every horse, but if you run over three people and get two or three people hurt trying to do that, then it's not successful. I mean, it's not all about catching the horse. I stress that a lot, you know, and people are of the utmost, you know, and, you know, you don't catch them all. You're not going to. I don't care how good you are or how good your horses are. You're going to miss some. If it was easy, everybody would do it. So, you know, I mean, and people think just because they can ride a horse, then they think it's not. It's not easy at all. So you have to be strong, and you have to know when to go and when to stop and do, you know. Like I said, it's more about, especially in the morning when there's so many people out there, it's about keeping them safe. It's not so much about the loose horse.
And you kind of have to be a team with your pony too, right?
Well, yeah. You don't want to be leaning out there going as fast as you can go and have to worry about him not staying there ducking or, you know.
Tell me about your pony.
I've had several. I've had a lot of good ones. I mean, I've been doing this. This will be my 22nd Derby, so I've had a few. And like I said, I've been blessed to have had good horses. And, you know, I've got a horse, Pee-wee, that I'll ride Derby Day that, you know, can handle the crowds and stuff. I got a really pretty Palomino, but he's coming along, but he's still got, it's just – you just find them where you can.
How do you know when your horse is ready for the big stage like Derby Day?
Well, like – me sitting out in front of the gates, you better not have to worry about them screaming behind you and having 20 horses run by you. You don't want to end up in the middle of the field and have them call the race because, you know, so you just kind of know. I mean, if you're a horseman and you've been doing this long enough, you have an idea what your horse is going to do.
So there's no formal training that goes into being an outrider. It's just you have to be a good horseman and you have to know the game.
Common sense helps a lot, you know. I mean, you know, and just being able to read livestock and horses and, you know, see, you know. And, like, when you work with a guy, as long as I have Lee Lockwood and stuff, you know, I can see something happening a half mile away. I know where he's going with the horse. I know what he's going to do. He knows where I, you know. It's just being able to see situations like that, you just know. I mean, my theory is you either have it or you don't.
Do you have a story you like to tell people about ponying some of the horses to the post for a race like the Kentucky Derby? Are there memories that stick out to you over the years?
Probably one of the funniest memories is my first one on Barbaro. And, you know, of course, Edgar Prado, you know, and he's got his helmet up in the air. And we're jogging back on the outside fence and everybody's cheering. And he doesn't even have all the reins. And I guess it's kind of my sixth sense of humor, but all I could think about was, like, spurting off and, you know, rolling him off the back of that horse. And I told him that about a year later. He goes, oh, I can't. I said, I didn't do it, but I can't tell you I didn't think about it. But, I mean, that's this, I don't know. You know, Rosario and them guys, we all cut up. We have a good time. You know, I really like having jocks that, you know, enjoy themselves, enjoy their job. Johnny B, you know, Jose Ortiz, them guys, it's – they're long days, you know, but, you know, you just got to I don't know, just if it's, you know, no fun, then you don't want to do it anymore.
Who determines which outrider is going to be which horse in a race like the Kentucky Derby?
Well, like I have been a good friend of mine, Sean Brasso, was getting ready to retire, and I let him bring Super Saver back, and I'm glad I did because about a year later he died. So that was one of my fondest memories of Derby. He really enjoyed it. So it's one of those things that I'm really glad I did it.
Yeah, it means so much to any outrider to be able to bring a Kentucky Derby winner back. It's one of those moments that you just never forget.
Well, you don't, you know, and I've had a lot of, you know, and I'm getting towards the end of my career. I'm planning on, you know, stepping down here for long, and, you know, it's a young man's deal, and, you know, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter as much anymore, but after 22 of them, you know, you know, it's time to let other people start doing it, and it, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't matter to me. You know, I do still enjoy it, but it's about time.
When you do step away and you do retire, let's call it retirement, because that's what it'll be. When you do retire, you ride off into the sunset. What are some of the things you're going to be most proud of when you think back on your career?
I just think just the trainers, you know, respect, and jockeys, and I think back, you know, when I first come around, and, you know, I had a lot to learn. I was blessed to be, you know, with John Neal, who's a great outrider. Glenn Webster, you know, he passed away here Oaks Day, you know, a couple years ago, or a long time ago, you know, but it just seems like yesterday. You know, to be blessed to have worked with people like that, you know, that's what means a lot to me.
It's a family, and the family is very close, very tight, and Greg, you get to do it again here on Saturday. Let's go have some fun at the Kentucky Derby, buddy.
Good.
Thank you.
All right.
Greg Blasi, this week's unsung hero.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired 6 millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include graded stakes winner Plum Ali.
But it's going to be Plum Ali, and she's now 3-for-3.
Sharp Samurai, international star Shivaji, and Birdie Queen, plus these standout performers. In the ring, his yearlings sold up to $260,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.